You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we discuss current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. This episode is being released on March 31st, 2022. This is the last episode of the month, so we're going to be doing our monthly news roundup. Rather than just focusing on one story or topic, we're going to be briefly talking about a few different stories from the news this past month. This week, we're going to be talking about how politics has affected churches coming out of the pandemic, another church leaving the global Hillsong Church, and defining what a woman is. For links to these stories that we're talking about, as well as related materials, you can check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/03-31-22. Now for our stories this week. Our first story, churches are returning to pre-pandemic normal, but with one major change, from FaithWire. It says, as government regulations from the COVID-19 pandemic have begun to wane, houses of worship across the country are lifting their rules and returning to normal practices. Despite the return to normal, though, a new survey from the Pew Research Center found the number of people attending worship services in person has not changed since last fall, following a stretch of growth from July 2020 to September 2021. 43% of survey participants said their congregations have returned to normal operating procedures, an increase of 14% in the last 6 months. In March 2021, just 31% said their churches were operating normally. Now, here's where it gets interesting, and this is why I wanted to cite this story here. It goes on, it says, interestingly, when split along party lines, the difference in behavior becomes very clear. Nearly twice as many Republicans, 58%, as Democrats, 27%, say their churches or houses of worship are operating the way they did prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, I tried not to get too much into politics on the podcast. We do talk about government. We do talk about things that government does that relate to us as Christians. But I do want to bring this up when, especially when you have a situation when political opinions and political ideology has an impact on how one carries out his spiritual responsibilities. So this story falls into that category. The pandemic that hit 2 years ago now has had an enormous impact on our world, more than I'm sure any of us realized it would when it first started. Most churches at the time transitioned from in-person assemblies, like they had always done, to virtual ones, some for a few weeks, others for a few months, some even longer than that. And many churches, even if they are meeting in person, are still not operating the way they did prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, to use a phrase that we see in that article. But I thought the statistic was interesting about the split along party lines. Among those who attend church services, those who identified as Republicans were twice as likely as Democrats to say their churches were back to operating as they were before the pandemic. Now, I'm not going to say that being a Republican equals being a faithful Christian. That's not the point. That's not why I'm bringing this up. However, I will ask this question. If your church is still not meeting after all of this time, why not? Is there some political ideology behind the reason for not going back to normal? Is it because too much trust has been placed in civil authorities and the bureaucracies that are part of that government structure? I'm not here to question motives, but I am here to encourage reflection for each one of us, because we don't want these types of things, political ideology or what our view of civil authorities is, we don't want that to hinder our service to God if that is what's behind it. So I'm not here to point fingers or do anything like that, but what I am trying to do is to have each one of us take a look at ourselves. What is our motivation behind these things? If our church is not meeting the way it has been, what could be behind that? So that's not going to go any more into that story. I just want to encourage you to think about that, especially if you're in one of those churches that has not gone back to normal operating procedures as you were prior to the pandemic. Could be it has nothing to do with politics or political ideology or anything like that. That's possible. It could be something else behind it. But I would encourage you to honestly think about that and evaluate that. But you can read more about this topic, because if it is a political ideology behind it, we need to be careful of that. And there's a couple articles that I've linked to. One is about the need to trust in the Lord and not in princes. It's from a quote or a verse from Psalm 118, that we need to put our trust more in God than we do in those in authority. So I encourage you to check that out and give this some thought over this over the next few days here. The second story that I want us to talk about is this. Hillsong shrinks dramatically in U.S. Phoenix pastor latest to pull out as global church faces scandals. From CBN News, it says, another Hillsong pastor has announced his resignation from the Hillsong Church, and this time he's taken his entire congregation with him. Nine U.S.-based Hillsong churches have reportedly left the global organization in just the past 2 weeks as the movement shrinks dramatically. It comes as the church has endured several high-profile scandals, including the latest, which led to the resignation of Australian founder Brian Houston. As CBN News reported, that development prompted the pastor of Hillsong Atlanta to pull out right away. Now, Hillsong Phoenix lead pastor Terry Crist is the latest to leave, announcing he's withdrawing his Arizona church from the oversight of the governing board of the global Hillsong Church. Ordinarily, I don't pay much attention to stories like this, but I did want to bring this up this time because I think this should remind us of the importance of local church autonomy. The Hillsong Church, which over the last several weeks, as all these scandals have come out, I've learned more about this. I'd heard of Hillsong, but I didn't really know what it was. Apparently, it's a multinational denomination now. And lately, it's been dealing with different scandals, including, as we read in that excerpt from this article, the resignation of its founder. This church in Phoenix is the latest to cut ties with the global denomination. Now, the New Testament teaches that local churches are to be autonomous or self-governing. That's what the word autonomous means. The New Testament describes no organizational structure larger than the local church. And not only is this the Lord's design, but there are also blessings that come with this. I wrote an article about this a few years ago called The Blessing of Autonomy, which will be linked in the show notes. But in that article, I highlighted three benefits that come when we follow the New Testament pattern of self-governing local churches. And just to highlight those briefly, number one, autonomy helps prevent the spread of error. 1 Corinthians 5:6 says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. This was true in a local church, which was the context of that verse. But when local churches are tied to other churches, like you have in a denominational structure, error can spread a lot more rapidly. Autonomy is a buffer to protect a local church from other churches that may have gone into apostasy. The second blessing is that autonomy allows churches to work more effectively. Many people have the concept that bigger is better. A bigger organization will do a better job of carrying out some particular work. Yet a bigger organization with its bureaucracy usually tends to slow down the work that needs to be done. This was what the wise man referred to when he wrote, if you see the oppression of the poor and denial of justice and righteousness in the province, do not be shocked at the sight, For one official watches over another official, and there are higher officials over them. That's in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 8. He's talking about big government bureaucracy, but this is not just about government. It's about any bureaucratic structure. It becomes inefficient and can't carry out the work as well as it was intended to, or as the intention was when it was formed. So autonomy allows churches to work more effectively. And the third benefit, or the third blessing, is that autonomy encourages local work. God designed the local church to do its work without the aid of human institutions, missionary societies, or so-called sponsoring churches, which was controversial among brethren back in the 1950s and 60s. Autonomy forces us to realize that if we are going to do the work of the church, we need to actually do the work of the church, not just send money to another church or another organization to do the work, and we think, well, we've done what we're supposed to do. Autonomy, when churches are independent and self-governing, encourages that local church to be involved in the work. You can read more on each of those points in that article I mentioned. It'll be linked in the show notes, The Blessing of Autonomy. But given stories like this one, we could add another benefit to the list, that autonomy helps keep our or our church's reputation from being sullied by the actions or the sins of other churches or of the leadership of the particular denomination that we may be a part of. We won't completely avoid negative associations that people have in their minds against us. For example, many have a negative perception of Churches of Christ, even though we are truly autonomous and non-denominational. But autonomy prevents unnecessary instances of guilt by association, which, with all these scandals going on with the Hillsong Church, and you have different local churches that are tied to this larger global church, they're pulling out, they're cutting ties. That's why. Because they don't want the negative association that comes by being part of this larger church that has all of these troubles. You see this with the Catholic Church, and as there have been sex abuse scandals in the Catholic Church. You have different other denominations that have dealt with their own issues and problems and scandals, and it just makes the entire denomination look bad. Well, when you're tied to all of these other churches, that's just part of it. Autonomy keeps you separate from those things. So you can read more about the idea of autonomy and denominations and non-denominationalism in some articles I have linked in the show notes, where you can check those out and read those. Third story that we'll talk about today. The title is, Do You Know What a Woman Is? I saw this, a link to a blog by Denny Burke, and so I'm sharing this here. He said, we have a Supreme Court nominee who either can't or won't offer a definition of what a woman is. Why? Because she claims she's not a biologist. Skipping down in the article, he says, have we really come to the point that a sitting judge and nominee for the highest court in the land cannot define what a woman is? Think how fast transgender propaganda has taken root in our culture that this very basic question would produce a blank stare and an I don't know from a sitting judge. We've talked about transgenderism a few times on the podcast, and this is just another example of just how far our society has gone in such a short period of time. We now have a potential Supreme Court justice who cannot even explain, or refuses to do so, which is probably more likely, but won't explain what a woman is. And she is a woman. The scriptures plainly teach that God created male and female in the beginning, Genesis 1:27. Gender is not something that we determine on our own. Instead, gender was defined by God. He created human beings so that there would be two distinct genders. And as we are formed by God into the womb, we have one of two genders, male or female, man or woman. We're getting to a point in our society where teaching the truth about God's design for men and women is becoming increasingly unpopular. It has been for a long time regarding roles in marriage and in the home and in the church of men and women, but now it's not even about roles of men and women. Now it's about what is a man and a woman. This doesn't mean we should abandon the truth just because the truth has become unpopular. Instead, it means we need to prepare for opposition and persecution. Those who identify as transgender need help. And there's a link in the show notes that cites statistics about the connection between transgenderism and mental disorders and suicide. This is not something that's inconsequential. Accepting transgenderism as normal does not help those who are struggling with it. However, when a Supreme Court nominee cannot or will not define what a woman is, it reflects the condition of our society. It shows us that it is all the more important that as Christians, we are letting our light shine and influencing the world around us for good. Again, check out the show notes for the article that I put together on transgenderism as part of the social issues series that I did. But it has in that article links to different statistics and studies and things like that about the connection between transgenderism and mental illness or mental disorders and suicide and self-harm and all of this. That's important to remember in all of this because we want to help people. And the way we help people is not by encouraging them to continue down the path that leads to all of these negative things. But that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found it to be interesting and informative and helpful. For links to the news stories that we cited, as well as the other relevant links, visit the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/03-31-22. The Plain Bible Teaching Podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. If you use those platforms, please subscribe and rate the podcast there. If you know of others who would be interested in hearing this episode, please share this with them. And if you see a news story that you think might make for a good discussion, please email the link to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.